Where would you be without your mom? When we think of existence, the answer is obvious. You wouldn't be here. Beyond giving you life, though, mothers play a vital role in raising and nurturing children, and do so without pay and often without the gratitude due them. This Mother's Day, take time to thank and honor your mom and commit to doing so throughout the year. And if you're a mother, thank you for the love and sacrifice you have made to care for your children.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week we began talking about what the Bible says about the Don't Say Gay bill. Now the bill was passed this last legislative cycle. It's actually entitled the Parental Rights Bill, but proponents or opponents of the bill have called it the Don't Say Gay Bill. And we've been looking at what the Bible says about this. Now, obviously, the Bible doesn't say anything about it because it was just passed and the Bible was written a long time ago. So the Bible doesn't specifically say anything about this bill. However, there are biblical principles that we can apply to it. And we started looking at what do we base truth on? Do we base it on what someone says, what a politician says, what a movie star says, what an actress says, what a singer says, or a sports character or a commentator, what we read in the news or what we read in the newspaper, what we read online? Maybe a video that we watch. What do we base our truth on? For too many Christians, it is on one of those other things and not on the Bible. We really should base our beliefs on the Bible, on God's Word. And we see from George Barna's book, Revolution, only 9% of Christians or adults have a biblical worldview. Less than one in 10 Christians aged 10 or older believe absolute truth exists, believes that such truth is contained in the Bible, and possesses a handful of core beliefs that reflect such truths. Those beliefs include a certainty that the Bible is accurate in its teaching, Jesus lived a sinless life on earth, Satan is real, not symbolic, all believers are responsible for sharing their faith in Christ with others. The only means to salvation is through God's grace, and God is the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the universe who still rules it today. The other 91% of born-again adults possess a patchwork of theological views and rarely rely on those perspectives to inform their daily decisions. Although the typical believer contends that the Bible is accurate in what it teaches, he or she spends less time reading the Bible in a year than watching television, listening to music, reading other books and publications, and conversing about personal hobbies or leisure interest. But what we are going to do is we are going to actually apply biblical truth. We're going to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about this issue. And even though we've covered this in the past, it's important to cover this again because so many Christians don't have a biblical worldview. And you're not going to get a biblical worldview, by the way, if you just read one verse a day. You need to get into the Word of God, and we'll talk about that today. But the Apostle Peter said that there were some truths that were so important that he would remind those, even though they knew them, he would remind the disciples of those truths. And even after he died, that he would send people to remind them. And he was speaking specifically about them making their calling and election sure, which again is a very interesting topic because God does the calling and God does the election. But you see there, Peter focusing on our responsibility, because both are necessary. God's sovereignty and salvation is necessary, but also we are fully and personally 100% responsible in salvation. The apostle, or Pontius Pilate, in the trial of Jesus, asked, "What is truth?" And he was asking sarcastically, but this is a valid question. What is truth? And when we think about what is truth, we need to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says, because as we mentioned last week, God's word is truth. And from John chapter 17, verses 17 through 20, Jesus prayed that God would sanctify the disciples by his truth. And he said, "Your word is truth." So God's word is true. And because God's word is true, God's word can sanctify or set someone apart for God's purposes. In Psalm 119, we read this last week, that the entirety of the word of God is truth, that his statutes are righteous. The precepts of God are true altogether. The psalmist, even earlier than that, asked, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Even Jesus, when Jesus was tempted, then quoted the word of God. What was it? Word that he had previously hidden in his heart. When the devil came to Jesus and tempted him, Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I'm big and bad. I'm going to stick this size 13 boot up your where the sun doesn't shine," or, you know, as some professional wrestlers or even Donald Trump might say. But he quoted the word of God and used the word of God to help him overcome that temptation. And if Jesus needed to use the word of God to overcome temptation, well, let me tell you, you're not better than Jesus. You're not more righteous than Jesus. You're not more bad or more good than Jesus. You're going to need to be meditating on the word of God. And that's what we look at when we look at John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. These two verses, if you don't hear anything that I have to say, I would encourage you to pay attention to these two verses, because if you get what the concept of these two verses, in fact, if you are a Christian, maybe a new Christian, maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you follow these, if these two verses are the only two verses that you know in the Bible, you can actually get on the right path to finding out every other thing that you need to find out. Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, again, this is John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So if you abide in my word, now, most of us know what it means to abide, because most of us live in a house, or an apartment, or a condo, or a mobile home, or a manufactured home. People that are in jail or prison, at least for a certain period of time, live in jail or prison. People that are in the hospital for at least a certain period of time live in the hospital. Hopefully not for very long. People that are in a nursing home, some people are in a nursing home or an assisted living facility, and that's where they abide. Well, Jesus said that we need to abide in the Word of God. We need to be reading the Word. We need to be memorizing the Word. We need to meditate upon it, which literally means to mutter. We should be actually speaking forth the Word of God. Even if you do it quietly, so that maybe other people just kind of barely hear you and it sounds like you're muttering, you should be speaking forth the Word of God, rehearsing it, going over it, thinking about it. The psalmist talked about reading the Word of God and thinking about the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God in the night watches and early in the morning and throughout the day. And the Bible talks about doing that, not only in the Psalms, but also even in the Pentateuch. The law of God talks about, thinking about this and talking about the law of God and teaching it to your children when you're, when you rise up, when you go to bed, when you're on the way, when you're coming, when you're going to actually speak forth this word. So we are to abide in his word, and then you'll be his disciples, his disciplined followers. You'll discipline yourself to follow Jesus Christ, and you shall know the truth. How will you know the truth? Well, because you're abiding in the truth. So, and when you abide in the word of God, and when you abide in truth, you're going to know the truth, and that truth will set you free. What's it going to set you free from? It's going to set you free from sin. You see, we all start out, we have all sinned, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us needs to repent of our sins, and we need to be set free. God doesn't want you to be a slave of sin the rest of your life. He wants you to be set free from sin, and this is a process that doesn't happen for most people. In fact, it never happens fully, instantaneously. There are certain people that when they come to Christ, they instantaneously are delivered from alcoholism or being a drug addict, being an alcoholic, being an adulterer, being someone that commits homosexual acts, being someone that fornicates. There are some people that once they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, God just sets them free from that addiction. But even with those people, they still have other areas of their life that they need to repent of their sins, and they need, and God's word needs to set them free from that sin. But with many people, with most of us, it's a process, and in fact, it's a process with everyone, because there's always many levels that we violate God's commandments. And so we need to be set free, and we're set free by abiding in the word of God. You see, if you don't know what you should do as a Christian, but you know these two verses, you're going to know that you need to abide in his word, which means that you're going to need to read his word from beginning to end. And you're going to be reading his word. And as you're reading his word, you're going to be reading truth, and you're going to see everything else that you're supposed to do. You're going to see that you're supposed to pray. You're going to see that you're supposed to praise him. You're going to see that you're supposed to serve him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything that you're supposed to do, if you're abiding in his word, you're going to see that. You're going to know what it is that you can do, and what God wants you to do. And God's word is going to help you be set free from that sin. Now, we know that Jesus said in John chapter 14, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus was, in fact, the word made flesh. He is the word of God, and he's made flesh. So he himself is truth. Yet when he was here on this earth, he still read the Bible. He still meditated on the word of God. He still cried out to God. When Jesus was on earth and he proclaimed the good news and preached to people and shared with them the truth of God, there were some Jews that were envious of him because people were listening to him and not to them. And even after he was raised from the dead, those people didn't change. Not all of them. I'm sure some of them repented of their sins. And we know that the Bible says that some of them repented of their sins. But when the apostles went out and preached the gospel, even when they were going outside of Jerusalem and they were preaching to some of the Gentile areas, there were Jews that became envious and would raise up a tumult. And we read in Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, reading through on from there. In verse 1, "Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews, who were not persuaded, became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathered a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security of Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. So as they preached the gospel to those in Thessalonica, there were many that believed, especially those of the Gentiles or the Greeks, and there were a lot of women that believed in them as well, and they were following Paul and Silas. But the Jews became envious. Why? Because they weren't the center of attention. You know, you see this sometimes where people want to be the center of attention. Boy, you see this with some of the superstar athletes also, you know, especially in football or basketball, when they're not in the spotlight, when they're not the ones that are getting the ball thrown to them, boy, they can pitch a fit and really carry on. Well, the Jews were envious because the attention was on the disciples, on Paul and Silas, and they were preaching the word and people were listening to them. So they raised up this tumult. And even though they were, what they were speaking, what Paul and Silas were speaking, was a transformational message, the Jews were really the ones that were causing the tumult. But the disciples sent them away to Berea. And we're going to see here that in Berea, there were some very different people, and they were minded different. In verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So notice that they did two things. One, they were open-minded. They were open, as it says here, fair-minded, but you can say in our modern terminology, they were open-minded. They heard the word of God. They listened to the word of God. They listened to what was being said. They were open to it. Even though it was different from what they had heard in the past, they were willing to listen and to hear, and they wanted to know what the apostles had to say. And they were open-minded. But they didn't, doesn't mean that they just believed anything. There's a singer from the 80s named Steve Taylor that had a lyric from one of his songs that said, "You're so open-minded that your brains leaked out." These weren't so open-minded that their brains leaked out. They actually listened to what they said. They were open-minded, but they also daily searched the scriptures. They searched in the Bible to see whether what Paul and Silas said was actually legitimate, whether it lined up with God's word. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to hear something, even if it sounds different than what we've heard before, even if we grew up thinking some other way, we need to be willing to listen to it. But we determine truth not based on what someone says or someone thinks or just this idea, hey, it makes sense to me. No, we look at the Bible, we verify, we go back to Scripture, we search the Scripture to see whether this is actually the truth or not. And so they were actually doing this. They were searching the Scripture. And you see in verse 12, therefore, many of them believed. Why? Because they were open to the message, and they also searched the Scripture, and they saw that it verified what the apostles were telling them. So many believed, and not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached to by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. And immediately they sent the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. But both Silas and Timothy remained there, and they were able to remain there and to train them for a certain period of time and to continue to share the good news for a certain period of time. Now, when we look at truth and we, look at what other people have to say, we need to realize that some people love truth and are seeking to express the truth and to expose lies. And there are other people who know the truth and suppress the truth. And you can even think about in our own country in the last 5 years, how I'm not going to mention a lot of the different things, but you can realize that there have been, if your eyes are open and you've been paying attention to what's going on, you can see that there are people that have known the truth, that have been lying to us and have been trying to deceive and hoping that you will never know the truth. And you see this in several different instances. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, we read, for the wrath of God is revealed against heaven, revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So there are people that know the truth, yet because that truth doesn't line up with what they want to believe or what they want to do, they suppress the truth. So they're purposely suppressing the truth. And it's a dangerous thing when you see people, in fact, even governments, working to suppress the truth. And in verse 25, we see that some know the truth and they exchange the truth for a lie. In verse 25, again, who exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So we see that there are those that suppress the truth in unrighteousness, and there are those who exchange the truth for a lie. Now, why would someone exchange the truth for a lie? Well, they would exchange the truth for a lie because the truth exposes their sin, exposes that what they believe is false, and they don't want to acknowledge God and acknowledge His truth. They don't want to submit themselves to God. They want to continue living the way they want to live. And they want to justify themselves. They want to make it seem as though they are just and as though they are righteous. And they don't want for, they want to suppress the truth. They want to serve a lie and believe a lie, because that lie allows them to continue to live their life of sin. Well, it's not so bad to have a drink every now and then the guy gets drunk. Or it's not so bad to use drugs every now and then. It's not so bad to fornicate every now and then, or to commit adultery every now and then. God understands. He sees. It's not so bad to commit acts of homosexuality. God sees and God understands. He knows. He's the one that created me. Well, that doesn't mean that he wants you to sin. God wants you to be set free from sin. And as we look into the law of God, as we look into His commandments, His precepts, as we meditate on His word, as we abide in His word, we will know the truth, and that truth can set us free from that sin. We need to be set free. Instead of suppressing the truth. Instead of exchanging the truth for a lie, we need to accept the truth and to believe the truth. And it is actually, there are some churches in America that where the pastors will not speak the truth. Certainly, they might speak about God loving you, wanting to save you. They might speak about the goodness of God, about the blessings of God. But they're not going to talk about sins, that homosexuality is a sin, that adultery is a sin, that fornication is a sin, that abortion is an abomination to God, that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Why? Because there are people in their congregation that don't want to hear the truth, and they are actually suppressing the truth. And God actually tells us that the church is to be the pillar and the ground of truth in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I write to you so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So God has called for us, His church, to be, and we are His church, the believers in Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've repented of your sins and you cry out to Him for forgiveness, you're a believer. God wants you to be a part of His church and to actually be the pillar and the ground of truth. God also tells us, the Apostle Paul also said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to rightly divide God's word and to not be ashamed because we are abiding in His word. We're living in His word. And I'm not just talking about reading a verse a day. That's not abiding in the word of God. You need to get into the word of God to the point that your worldview, that the word of God shapes every area of your life, from your personal life to your family life to your work life, to our cities, our states, and our nation, and your views on our laws, our ordinances, and everything else. The word of God needs to be the pillar and the ground of truth in your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Where would you be without your mom? When we think of existence, the answer is obvious. You wouldn't be here. Beyond giving you life, though, mothers play a vital role in raising and nurturing children, and do so without pay and often without the gratitude due them. This Mother's Day, take time to thank and honor your mom and commit to doing so throughout the year. And if you're a mother, thank you for the love and sacrifice you have made to care for your children.
Your presence, Lord, is life to me. It's water to my soul. Your Spirit, Lord, will ever be breath for these dry bones. Oh, I need to know is that I'll never singing over me, you're singing over me. That's all I'll ever need, that's all I'll ever need. You're singing over me, you're singing over me. That's all I'll ever need, that's all I'll ever need.